We move now to music by my guest, Timothy Lee Miller. You were just listening to Tears by Timothy Lee Miller. In our performance, you heard the Composer's Choir conducted by Daniel Shaw, music by Timothy Lee Miller. Well, welcome, Tim, and thank you so much for driving down from almost New York State.
Oh, it's great to be here. I'm very happy for the invite.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here, and I just want to let people know a little bit more about you. Timothy Lee Miller is a prolific American composer writing unique contemporary concert music for various chamber ensembles, orchestra, wind ensemble, and voice, as well as jazz music for small ensembles and big band. He has earned degrees from the University of Tennessee, the University of Miami, and Vermont College of Fine Arts. He has received numerous commissions and awards, including several ASCAP awards. His works have been performed throughout the U.S. and in Europe, and his orchestral works are recorded by ERM Media and Parma Records. Well, once again, Tim, thank you so much for coming. We are going to have a wonderful time sharing some of your wonderful music for the next hour and a half.
I'm so happy to be here, Marvin. Thank you for the invitation.
And I'm glad you are happy. We're going to have fun. Anyway, before we hear the Timothy Lee Miller story, tell us a bit more about the work we just heard, Tears.
Well, Tears was written at a point when I was fresh on the professional composition career that I had just embarked on a few years back, and I was looking to write some choral pieces. And in searching for text, this is one that just kind of jumped out at me. Mm-hmm. Walt Whitman, he was one of my favorite poets growing up and through school. And this one just jumped out at me, and it was so mournful and just really spoke to me. And I feel like I captured the text with the music that I put to it.
Yeah, it's a beautiful piece.
Thank you very much.
Beautiful work. And before we go to more of your music, I think we ought to go and hear a little bit about your story. Share with us a bit about your early years. How did you get involved with music, and when did you start actually composing?
Well, you know, my story is kind of a long and winding trail.
Sometimes they are.
Yeah, yeah. So I didn't start off wanting to be in music or a composer. I started off with piano lessons when I was three, but I'm really not a pianist at all. I actually was a trumpet player, and I started playing trumpet very early as well, and that took me through college. I actually started fiddling with composition in high school. I remember going to the music store one time, and I came across some blank sheet music, and I said, well, this is kind of cool. I can write my own stuff. And I started doing that, just piddling around. I listened to some old records that my mom and dad had, mostly Boston Pops recordings and things like that. And then I discovered the classical radio station in Knoxville, Tennessee, where I grew up, and I started listening, and I had heard Wagner and Brahms and Beethoven, and made the obligatory trips with the school field trips to the symphony, and probably heard Tchaikovsky, you know, Swan Lake or something. And that just started to kind of ignite a passion for music in me. I really didn't start composing seriously until I got into college. I wrote my first real piece of music in high school. It was a piece called The Piper, which I actually...
Tell us about it.
The Piper, it's kind of the Pied Piper story. And a friend of mine asked me, she had the text that she had written or found or whatever, and I scribbled down something. I actually have that. It was an ink pen, blue ink pen, and I actually have that framed on my office wall. But it was really, you know, just not much of a piece, but it was actually performed later, a few years later, for a woodwind quintet that I had arranged it for. Mm-hmm. I was a music education major in college, studied to be a band director, which I went on to be, but I decided as an elective I was going to take some composition classes, and I studied composition with John Anthony Lennon, who was teaching there at the time. He's a very well-known composer, teaches at Emory University now, and he's influenced my writing a great deal because he was my first teacher. Right. Later, after I decided to change careers from teaching and go into composition, I actually went back and studied privately with John at the University of Tennessee. And that kind of started me down the path of composition.
Very good.
Went to the University of Miami, got a degree, master's degree in media writing and production.
Right.
Which basically was for film scoring. I ended up in Los Angeles and tried my hand at it, and that's quite a wall to scale. A lot of competition. You got to have some money. And, you know, I ended up in music retail. I stumbled on the Guitar Center and embarked on a long career, which finally ended in 2009. And that's when I really began composing, was just 7 years ago, as a full-time profession.
Very interesting. Well, you mentioned that you have written music for film and you studied, you know, how to film composition. You've also done some television projects as well. Well, let's go now to your suite for orchestra, Alone, which is actually based on an original film score. Tim, first of all, tell us about the film itself and what you did to adapt, I guess, the original electronic film score from 1989 for orchestra.
So I was approached by Dave Porfiri at the University of Miami while I was studying there, a student film writer, director, who had this project, and we sat down, talked, and I decided to score the film. And then, of course, everybody scored, you know, for electronics for the most part, mm-hmm. because you didn't have access to
the whole orchestra.
Yeah, we didn't. So it worked fine. I had synths at home. I had, you know, the synth lab at the University of Miami, so I was able to create this score. And it actually was a pretty good score. Dave is a very, very strong film writer and director. He and I ended up over the next few years doing three or four projects together. In 1989 is when the film was written, and then a few years later, after I got back from California and out to Tennessee and started to think about writing again, I decided I wanted to transform this into something that might be performed. And I started to do a transcription, and the original intro, the introductory scene, the first scene in the movie, actually was source music. It was a radio playing. And so I didn't really have anything. And I didn't feel like where the score started really was a good starting point for a concert piece. So as you'll hear throughout my music, a lot of my music, I'm very influenced by Stravinsky. I'm kind of one of those people that when I fell
It'll
in love with...
It'll be very obvious in a little while.
Yeah, it will be. So, you know, I remember the first time I ever heard The Rite of Spring. It was my freshman year in college. We were in a master class, and they played this, and it blew me over. And
sure.
I went straight to the library and checked out a record and listened to it over and over and over again. And so that's really been a huge influence on me. And this piece, the beginning, is a tip of the hat to Stravinsky.
Well, let's hear it now.
Let's hear it.
We listen now to Alone, Suite for Orchestra by my guest, Timothy Lee Miller, as performed by the Prague Radio Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Robert Ian Winston. And this is from a Navona Records compact disc titled Spellbound. Thank you. You were just listening to Alone, Suite for Orchestra by my guest, Timothy Lee Miller, as performed by the Prague Radio Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Robert Ian Winston. Well, we are going to go now to a delightful set of pieces for bassoon, horn, cello, and piano. However, Tim, before we do, let us talk about the different genres of music you write. We have heard some choral music and orchestral music based on a film score. Now, you have also composed jazz, correct?
Yeah, I do enjoy writing jazz. It's kind of my alter personality.
Is it real? Did you get into that at the beginning, or
not really? My first exposure to jazz was at the University of Tennessee, my undergraduate degree. Mm-hmm. Jerry Coker, very famous jazz educator, was at the University of Tennessee, and they needed a trumpet player in the big band, and so I said, okay, I'll play. And I played third part, which, you know, is relatively easy and no soloing. And I did it, and I got hooked. And I didn't really start writing jazz until really a few years later. And that really didn't count as jazz. It was more just arrangements for my jazz band that I was teaching when I was teaching school. So jazz, you know, eventually at the University of Miami, I did get, you know, we did go through a lot of jazz composition and jazz harmony classes, and that really kind of ignited that flame. Mm-hmm. And over the years, I've just written more and more and more.
Right. Well, let's go to jazz versus concert music for a minute in terms of the creative process. Now, tell us about the approach. I mean, now, does your jazz pieces, do they have a lot of improvisation in them, or are they written out, or is it a mix?
Well, they do have improv in them. I try to write in standard format, you know, what's traditional for big band charts, you know,
a
standard form, which I did learn in school through a lot of listening. I listened to a lot of jazz. You know, I try to stay close to form. I just finished my first solo CD, which I released last week as an E release.
Right.
You can get that at bandcamp.com.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's all small combo writing. And for the most part, my jazz writing has been big band.
Right.
And this was my first effort at small combo. So we're talking about quintets and octets. And the approach is a good bit different. And one of my mentors commented that, you know, my forms are sometimes a little not traditional, but, you know, I'm not trying to necessarily imitate. I'm trying to be myself, and sometimes that myself is not a copy of somebody else.
Right. Well, be yourself. That's very important.
Right.
Well, when you write now, if you're writing two pieces at once, you're writing
two projects going on at once.
Right. Thanks for putting the words on my mouth. If you're doing two projects at once, okay. Can you do that? I mean, is your zone, can you do a jazz piece and then go an hour later to a concert piece?
Yeah, it's hard. It really depends on what it is. A lot of times, jazz influences my classical writing. I mean, you can hear some jazz voicings in like my choral music, for example.
Right.
And, you know, even my one of my greatest influences, Stravinsky, was very influenced by jazz.
Sure.
So, you know, to say that, you know, they're very similar, it's very different writing. And you really do have to kind of take one hat off and put the other on.
Mm-hmm.
But I've had times where I've had a jazz project going on and a classical project. And I don't know that I can work on them the same day, but it may be today I work on this, tomorrow I work on the other.
Okay, that explains it. Well, we talked a little about jazz. Now we're going to go to your four movements for bassoon, horn, cello, and piano, dating from 2001. Now, I have to say, I've enjoyed listening to this. Share with us a bit about them.
Well, this was when I was living in Knoxville, Tennessee, after making my circuitous cross-country tour from Miami to Los Angeles, then to Nashville, and then back to Knoxville, just through various moves. I started writing. I was running. I was the store manager of Guitar Center in Knoxville, and I was starting to run into people I knew from way back when I was in school and when I grew up. And so Keith McClellan, who is the bassoon teacher at the University of Tennessee for many, many years, 30 years, just retired this past year, as a matter of fact, I ran into him, and I had played trumpet at his church many times through my college gigging days. And so I told him, I said, hey, I'm back in town. I'm writing music, and, you know, if you'd ever need anything, let me know. And so he called me one day and said, hey, I've got a recital coming up.
I need something.
Yeah. He said, it's a little bit of an odd instrumentation. I said, well, whatever, I'll make it work. And he said, it's for bassoon, cello, French horn, and piano, which are all kind of in the tenor baritone range, piano being very versatile. But the other three, melodically and harmonically, are in the baritone tenor range. So it was a very interesting combination and a challenge for writing. So I had already started kind of sketching out this piece, No Way Home. And I said, well, I'll just make it for this instrumentation. And the other pieces, Chase the Wind, Lullaby and March. Chase the Wind actually was a string quintet piece that I'd written. And Lullaby and March came from an orchestral suite that I'd put together. And I just said, you know, I'll just do a transcription. And I put this together, and they performed it live, and it was very well received. It worked.
Yeah.
Very well received.
Well, we're going to hear this set of four pieces now. Tim, who are our performers?
The performers.
Yes.
Keith McClellan on bassoon, Calvin Smith on horn, Wesley Baldwin on cello, and Faye Adams on piano. They're all professors at the at the University of Tennessee. Keith just retired. Tragically, Calvin Smith died a few years ago. Wesley Baldwin is still there, and I believe Faye Adams is still there.
Well, we're going to hear this set of four movements for bassoon, horn, cello, and piano right now. Once again, music by my guest, Timothy Lee Miller. Ooh.